I am Eric Disco from ApproachAnxiety.com, and I am here with Glenn P. from Seductive Approach at GlennPUA.com, and we are going to have ourselves a little podcast about relationships. What's up, Glenn?
Oh, nothing. I'm excited to do this. What's up.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, we got a lot of emails and a lot of responses and comments with some awesome questions that our readers have about relationships and relationship management. So I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, just to give you guys a preview of some of the questions we have. How to maintain casual relationships without lying to anyone involved. Maintaining more serious relationships and getting what you want. Maintaining relationships while traveling. If you found the one, but you don't want to be exclusive for fear of losing your skills, that's a great question.
I know who asked that one.
Interracial relationships. Ooh, taboo. Maintaining a long-distance relationship, online dating, and what to do when a lead goes cold. We've got a lot of stuff to cover here. So we're going to hop right into it.
Are we now?
Yeah, we are. The first question comes from Chris, an ApproachAnxiety.com reader. Chris, spelt with a Y.
Of course, Eric picks his own reader first.
Of course, because we're better.
No offense to my guys. It's all right.
So Chris writes, I want a relationship where we are more than friends, but less than boyfriend, girlfriend. I met a woman. It started off casually. We got sexual with heavy touching and sexual banter. In the beginning, she was so into it, but now she seems frustrated when I get sexual. She deflects it with bad behavior. This is the feeling I get with all my relationships. We reach a certain level, and then everything fails as if there's an expiration date. And if I see her more often, it expires even faster. How should I handle this? How should I keep her attracted and interested? I sense that they get emotional because I'm not giving them the exclusive relationship they want. They get frustrated and impatient, and then I lose them. If I connect with her and get emotional, she wants more. And if there's no emotional connection, she leaves. So I'm gonna start off. I'll take this question first, and I'm sure Glenn, you have your own answer.
I'll chime in when I can.
The basic idea with maintaining casual relationships, and really just maintaining relationships at whatever level you want, say it's super casual, you just see each other whenever you get around to it, or you see each other once a week, or you know, you just keep it at boyfriend, girlfriend, and you don't want to get married, or you move in together, whatever it is. It's your job to keep the relationship at that level of seriousness. And the woman will usually go along with you as long as you communicate properly to her how serious you want this relationship to be. And the way you communicate that to her is not by saying, hey, I don't want an exclusive relationship, or let's just be fuck buddies, let's keep this casual, because that's, you never want to say that to a girl. The way you communicate how serious you want the relationship to be is by how often you see her, how often you communicate with her over text, over phone. So in general, if you want to keep a casual relationship, you want to see her less than once a week.
Yeah, you're kind of you know, Eric said something. He's basically saying you want to communicate the pace and the style of the relationship with your actions and not so much with your words. Was that what you were saying?
Yep.
A little bit earlier? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's a part of this question that really concerns me where Chris says, you know, we reach a certain level and then everything falls as if there's an expiration date on all my relationships. And it kind of contradicts something else where, you know, he's seeing her too much, then he may get into a relationship. But in reality, he's saying, if I see her too much, things fall apart. So, you know, that's a kind of tough question to actually, or a topic to get onto without having more information. I mean, typically, in my world, the more I see a girl, the less it's going to fall apart. I mean, the more I see her, the more she gets invested, the more involved she's going to get, and the more attached she gets. And, you know, at times, sometimes the more attached and involved I get with her. You know, I wish I had him here to ask a couple of questions, like why, what he's doing, or what his dates are like, what his hangouts are like, what the sex is like with her. You know, there's obviously something fundamentally wrong with how he's approaching her.
Well, if unless I misread the question, the way I read the question was that he starts seeing her a lot, and then she wants an exclusive relationship, but he doesn't, and so it falls apart. It was a little tough to I don't think English is his first language, so it was a little tough to read the question, but that's kind of how I understood the question, that she starts pushing for a relationship, and then he doesn't give it to her, and then she walks out because she realizes he doesn't want a serious relationship.
Yeah, but women, here's the thing. I've yet to meet a woman strong enough to walk away from a man that she's really invested in and really likes because he won't give her the relationship. I've yet to experience that, and I know Eric was in a situation like that not too long ago where he was in a long-term relationship and wasn't giving her the serious commitment, and, you know, she stuck around for a long time and indefinitely. And every girl that I've been with that I turn into a MLTR, major long-term relationship, you know, I've yet to meet one that when you satisfy them emotionally and sexually, that they're strong enough to actually walk away. So, you know, I'm reading this as though, like, if she is walking away, I don't think she's walking away because she's not getting what she wants. Unless, you know, she's walking away within the first 2 weeks. But if this is going on for a month or two, you know, it's pretty hard for a woman to just, you know, walk away because she's not getting that commitment.
I mean, I feel like there's certain things you can do in the early relationship where you're still at that casual stage, and you really should start off every relationship at that casual stage, that telegraph to her that you're getting serious, you know, like you do boyfriend girlfriend stuff with her, like introduce her to your friends, you know, have her meet your family, go on vacation with her. You do these things, and spend an entire weekend with her or multiple days in a row, and these things telegraph to her, hey, this is not a casual relationship anymore. This is a serious relationship anymore. And I guess this is speaking from my personal experience. I know in the past, I would start to do those things kind of because she pushed it in that direction and I felt like I should go along with it, even though I didn't really want to. And then all of a sudden I was in this serious relationship. I had built up these expectations for her to get serious, even though that wasn't really what I wanted, and it didn't matter if I said, hey, I don't want this to be serious. Now we're hanging out 3 nights a week, 4 nights a week. That's a serious relationship, and she has those expectations that we're going to hang out. And so, you know, it follows that she's going to say, hey, are we exclusive? Are we boyfriend girlfriend? And, you know, I could say no, which would probably piss her off, but it doesn't even matter what I say. It's a serious relationship at that point.
Well, it's a one-sided serious relationship at that point because you're not being serious. You're not committed. She's the one being committed. I mean, I've had, you know, dozens of these types of relationships. Not so much where I'm introducing them to my family or my mother or my sister or my grandparents or taking her home, but you know, I've had dozens of relationships where I'm seeing a girl a few nights a week. And, you know, I think you can have a casual relationship with a girl where, you know, it's ongoing and lasts indefinitely, where you see her once, maybe twice a week. Or you can have the more serious type of non-committed relationship where you do boyfriend-girlfriendy things and you do vacation together, but there's still that non-commitment there. And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of guys right now are probably like, yeah, dude, that sounds awesome to me. How do you do that? And I think it's almost impossible for a woman to walk away from a real alpha male, a guy that really knows how to emotionally charge her with excitement and anticipation and keep her confused and guessing, and then also just give her the best sex of her life. You know, if these girls are walking away from you, then, you know, my advice to you, and I don't have a lot of information here to really go on, I would tell you to still make sure you get an emotional connection from her. Be fun, be spontaneous, don't be so available, be confusing, be aloof, and most importantly, give this girl the most insane sex that she's ever had. Girls will come back for years just for the sex, if the sex was that good. Yeah, let's just go by the questions. And then, you know, I think, you know, the part of that relationship, how do you get that sort of, you know, 2-3 day a week relationship and still keep it non-committal? I think that's going to kind of come out in other questions.
So the next question is from Social Kenny.
What's up, Kenny?
What's up?
What's up?
About maintaining a more serious relationship. Although I'm an advanced PUA, pickup artist, who does coaching myself, I've been in a long-term relationship for 3.5 years now. I suck at long-term relationship management. Huge sticking point. It's ironic that the relationship has lasted so long, though. What I've noticed lately is that she's pushing for me to move in with her. Personally, I'm not for living with any girl. I love my freedom and privacy. Eventually, if the relationship does progress, we will most likely move in together. But now, at the age of 30, I'm not up for living together. What's your take? Should I suck it up and move in with her on her request, or remain living alone, since that's what I want to do and prefer?
Well, if that's what you want to do, Kenny, and that's what you prefer, then you shouldn't compromise your values or your standards. I mean, if you're not mentally ready to move in with a girl, and I've lived with a girl a few times, so I think I could handle this pretty well. You know, living with a girl, it's kind of like, it's a whole different ball game, first of all. You know, when you move in with a girl, all of a sudden there is going to be a plethora, a myriad of different expectations that she is going to have of you just because you're now living together. When you move in with a girl, the responsibility level is going to go through the roof. You're going to be responsible to her in ways that you probably aren't now. You're going to have someone that you're going to constantly have to answer to, someone that you're going to have to explain yourself to. And, you know, from the tone of your voice, you know, in your question, it doesn't really sound like you're going to be all that committed to her. You know, there is the option where, you know, if you got to a point and you wanted to move in with her, maybe you and her can start exploring, you know, bringing other women into the bedroom here and there and having some threesomes. And that could maybe take the place of your potential infidelity. But as far as sucking it up, if that's not what you want to do, I would strongly advise against it. I mean, you know, you're 30. You've been with this girl for 3 years. She's obviously not going anywhere. And for whatever reason, you're not going anywhere either. So it sounds to me like you guys have a good thing. But, you know, women are always on the prowl for the next thing. So, like, you hook up with a girl and, you know, you're seeing her casually. Then she's going to want to, like, see you more. And that's the next thing. Then she's going to want to like introduce you to her friends. That's the next thing. Then she's going to want to introduce you to her family and have her introduce you to her family and vice versa. And it's going to be a constant progression of next steps towards an ultimate goal. So it's like then she's going to ask for the committed relationship, and then she's going to get the committed relationship. Then she's going to ask for the moving in. Then you're going to move in. Then it's going to be, when are we getting married? And then it's going to be like, when are we going to have kids? And then it's going to be like, when are we going to have a house? When are we going to have another kid? It's like women aren't going to stop asking for the next, because typically women are incapable of validating and satisfying themselves. So what they're going to do is they're going to seek it externally through their progression in their relationships. And each successive step in the relationship is a temporary validating experience for her. And, you know, as most guys will know, you know, any type of external validation is very temporary. It'll make you feel fulfilled and like you got what you wanted at that moment. But it's not going to last long, and she's going to be looking for what's next.
Yeah, I think this gets at the heart of relationship management, which is learning to keep the relationship at whatever level of commitment you want it to be at the time. So you're basically, you know, like you just said, Glenn, She's always going to want more. You give her one thing and she'll want the next thing. And so the answer isn't to give her everything she's looking for, because that's never going to happen. You want to stay at your desired level of commitment. You want to learn how to maintain the relationship at that desired level. And you do that through dominance. You do that through pulling away when if she's getting too needy, if she's asking for too much, and showing her how close she can get to you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, one of the things that I'll typically do is when girls start asking for too much, or getting too needy, you know, in the beginning, it's real easy to sort of sidestep that stuff, like, you know, give some flirty answers or treat that stuff as shit tests. But as relationships progress, you know, sooner or later, you're just going to start to have the conversations, and you're going to have to start acting in certain ways that's going to telegraph your true intentions and your true meaning behind the type of relationship that you want. And you know, the further along you get in relationships, the easier it is to start conceding to the woman's needs, desires, and concerns. What I typically do is I've learned to separate my emotional feelings from, I don't want to put this, I've learned to separate how I'm feeling emotionally towards her from her expectations of me to give her certain answers and certain talks. And when girls start acting needy and asking certain questions over and over again, there comes a point where I won't tolerate it anymore, and I actually punish her. I let her know that her behavior is bad and I'm not going to tolerate it. And one of the best things you can do is to, when girls get like that, is to ignore her. You can say, hey, listen, you know, I've already explained myself to you. I don't want to have this conversation again. And if she brings it up again, you could say, hey, you know, we've already had this conversation. You know what? I'm going to go home. You have a great night. And disappear for 2 days. I mean, sooner or later, when you ignore a girl or you dismiss her, that pain that she's going to be experiencing is pretty great. And she's going to start to quickly associate, if I do this and I act this way and I ask that of him, he's going to do this. And when he does this, that hurts. And I don't want to hurt anymore. So I'm just going to learn to keep my mouth shut and be compliant and not ask for fear of losing the relationship. Women always, always want to preserve the relationship. They'll do just about anything to preserve the relationship. So if they feel like they're actually ruining the relationship or potentially pushing you away, which is the impression you should absolutely give her, she'll stop pretty quick because she's not going to, the fear of loss is going to be too strong because she's already been hanging out with you for months or years. I mean, she's not going to want to leave you and then go out and have to like hit the streets again, start dating, sleeping with guys who don't call her back or just fuck her for that night. I mean, she has to start that whole process over. And not only that, she has to explain herself to her family and friends what happened to the relationship. And for a woman, you know, it's really embarrassing to them when they lose the relationship. So out of embarrassment or fear of embarrassment, they'll actually stay in it and put up with stuff that they typically shouldn't.
Awesome. And I would add to that too, that you going into this to something you don't want to do is going to make you feel crowded, is going to, you know, whenever you take a step like that for her instead of yourself, you typically end up feeling crowded, you feel claustrophobic, and that's not good for anybody.
Well, you might start resenting her because you're compromising, you know, your own values, what you really want. I mean, if you don't want to move in with somebody and you move in, you know, you're going to pretty much almost guaranteed end up unhappy and you're going to wind up resenting her because you compromised your own values. And in reality, you're going to be resenting yourself, but typically you're not going to reflect on yourself. You're going to want to put that blame on something external, which is going to be the girl. But you know, what's kind of funny is, even though Kenny says all this stuff, you know, the last question is, you know, if I connect with her and get emotional, she wants more, blah, blah, blah. And if, oh no, that was Chris. Sorry, Kenny. He says, you know, what's your take? Should I suck it up and move in with her on her request or remain living alone since that's what I want to do and prefer? Part of that last question, you know, almost sounds like there is a potential that you may want to move in with her and you want somebody to just tell you to do it. It's sort of like 3 years now, and I may be wrong, and I think we should tackle these questions from every available angle since we don't have the person here to actually hear what they're saying. But, you know, I think from some angle, you know, maybe you've been with her for 3 years and you like her and you dig her, and, you know, maybe you're sort of more ready to take that next step more than you may be willing to admit. I mean, if you didn't want to do it and you were steadfast in that, I mean, why would you even ask that question? Should I just suck it up?
I would say if it's coming from guilt, then, you know, then it's a bad idea. But if there's, you know, if you feel like you want to explore that.
Sure. And let me just add this, you know, like I said, I've lived with a couple of girls, and you know, if the relationship is great and you're in love and you're content and you're with this girl because you want to be with her and not because you need to be with her. And what I mean by that is, you know, Kenny's obviously a seasoned, you know, pickup artist. You know, he's slept with, you know, countless women. So he's seeing a lot of the available options and he's choosing and wants to stick around with this one girl. And, you know, for guys who are less experienced, I would tell them, don't move in with a girl. Don't move in with a girl or get too serious with a girl until you've had enough experience, until you've had enough women in your life where you know what it is you really want and what you don't want. You don't want to be with a woman out of need or a fear of lack or loneliness. You want to be with a woman and have her in your life and live with her because you want to.
All right, so our next question is from Man Ray.
That's a sexy name.
Yeah, I suspect that's not his given name, Man Ray.
I've met many Man Rays before.
Have you? I'm sure you have. Man Ray asks, I travel for work. How do I create a casual but sexual relationship when I don't have a lot of time to give? I think you should take this one.
Because I'm constantly traveling. So he wants to know how to maintain a casual relationship. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, you're traveling. I mean, you're not around. You don't have the ability to truly have a serious relationship. I mean, if you're traveling that much, it's going to be pretty hard to have a serious relationship. I mean, you know, typically when you first meet a woman and the energy's great and you have an awesome connection, you two will build up a certain momentum. The relationship will have a certain pace. And, you know, you could speed track that as much as you want into any sort of relationship you desire. But when you're the type of person who's traveling a lot like I am, when you first meet a woman, you might meet her and then the next day you're traveling for a week. Or you might meet her and then you know you're leaving town in 4 days and you see her one more time before you leave and then you go away for 3-4 days or a week. So it's really, just because of your situation, it's really difficult to have a serious relationship. It's almost you're given way to keep it casual.
So, but I think the question is, if I understand it correctly, is, so then how do I maintain the casual relationship? How do I keep this girl around?
Well, here's the best thing you could do is you have to keep in touch with her when you're away. Not that much, because she knows you're away and you're working, but you do have to keep in touch with her. I wouldn't text her every single day. I would, if you're away, let's just say 5 days, you know, I'd text her when I got to wherever I was going. I'd say, hey, you could stop worrying about me now. You know, I got here safe. Send her a cute little text. And she'd be like, cool, I'm glad you're safe. And you could be like, what are you wearing? And, you know, keep it sort of sexual. Let her know that you're missing her body. Let her know that you're missing the sex. You know, to keep it casual, I typically don't let girls know I'm missing them or their personalities. Like, I'm not going to say, like, you know, I miss the movie night. You know what I mean? I'll keep it pretty flirty and pretty sexual. And if it's for more than like 5 days, I would 100% recommend getting her on the phone once during that time. You know, start some texting and just say, hey, can you pick up the phone? She'll be like, yeah. And just pick it up and, you know, talk to her a little bit and just keep her reminded of you and who you are and what your relationship is. I mean, it's really easy, you know, in the beginning stages of a relationship when you're traveling a lot, for a woman to sort of fall off, because a woman will kind of, you know, they'll think to themselves, well, you know, if it was meant to be, we'd be hanging out more and we'd be seeing each other more and we'd be communicating more and sort of fall off because none of that stuff is really happening. So I've learned some valuable lessons because I've lost a lot of girls because of my traveling. And I needed to fix that, because what would happen is I'd hook up with all these girls before I'd leave town. And when I came back, I was like almost totally incapable of seeing them again. Just too much time went by. Sometimes it'd be a week and a half, sometimes it'd be 2 weeks. And that initial excitement, that momentum was gone. So what I started doing was I started making sure I was texting them, like, you know, every other day, every 2 days, and definitely getting them on the phone. Okay, I'd get him on the phone, we'd have a cool little conversation, you know, I'd turn it a little sexual. Every once in a blue moon, we'd have phone sex, or I'd be like, hey, are you up for a little like Skype action tonight? And we get on Skype and, you know, kind of masturbate to each other and, you know, keep the sexual energy of your relationship alive, and also constantly remembering or reminding her that you're in her life, that you're in the picture, and that, you know, you haven't dismissed her. You know, when you go away and you travel and you don't contact her, she's like, you know, this guy doesn't care about me at all. He's not even thinking about me. It's like he's gone. And then what? He just expects me to like fuck him the night he gets back? Like, no, I'm not into that. And it'll be easy for a girl to put a stop to that. But when you're communicating to her while you're away and you're being flirty and sexual, you should definitely be able to have her when you get back and maintain the casualness of it. And you probably won't even need to define the relationship talk with her, because she'll already understand where the relationship could go. I mean, you're a busy guy, you're always traveling. You know, she already doesn't have high hopes for it leading into something big and glamorous because you're just not around. And women want guys who are going to be available and around. And you're not going to be. So she should already be pretty capable of putting you in the, hey, this is fun, casual category easily on her own.
And he asked another question. How do I have more than one relationship at the same time without lying to anyone, preferably with all the girls knowing and being okay with it? In parentheses, pipe dream.
No, that's not a pipe dream. What were you going to say, Eric?
So my answer to this question is, you don't need to lie to any of these girls. At the same time, you don't want to talk about the other girls. You don't want to rub it in their face that you're seeing other girls. And the way I do this is, if they bring up, hey, you know, are you seeing anyone else? I tell them I'm not ready to talk about that. Because I'm not ready to be exclusive with her.
Oh, that's what you say, really?
Yeah.
I just say, yeah, like, you know, 40 or 50 other girls, why?
So you can joke
it
off, too.
Is there a problem with that? Yeah.
You can joke it off, too. You know, and that's actually going to be your initial, you know, your initial response is, you know.
You're talking about later down the road?
So initially you want to joke it off. You know, is this a marriage proposal or, you know, and kind of not, you want to kind of evade the question. But ultimately, like, if she keeps asking, your answer is, you know, I'm not ready to talk about that. I'm not ready to go there. You know, when I am ready to go there, we'll have that discussion.
Ah, you see, I go a little bit more evil than Eric. Although I like Eric. It's Eric's response. And, you know, and I've done this, I don't know, probably 24 times or so. And I've said the same exact thing, because when I said it the first time, I saw the look on the girl's face and I never forgot it. And I was like, that is the greatest thing that I ever thought of saying. So she was hounding me about the relationship. And, you know, it does get to a point where you can't handle it like a shit test. You can't joke it. You can't flirt it off. It just, you know, sooner or later, you just got to, like, say something very, very bold, very abrupt. And I would say, hey, listen, you know, I really respect you for asking me this question. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you right now that I'm going to answer your question 100% honestly, okay? But before I do, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to take a couple of days and just think about the answer you may or may not hear. And just make sure that you're totally capable of handling that answer, whatever it may be. And you will see her just look at you and be like just gulp. And end of conversation for a couple of months, for sure. And you, but the great thing about that is you didn't lie. You just said, hey, listen, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But I just want you to make sure that you're ready and mature enough to handle the answer you may hear.
It's good.
And give them 2 days to think about that shit, and they ain't gonna come back. I've never had one girl come back and be like, I'm ready. Yes or no, are you fucking anybody else?
and the thing is, and we should be really clear on this, is it's you know, there have been some relationships I've been in that were quote unquote open relationships, and the girls were all into whatever, that it was more of like a political thing. Like, I'm really open. I don't care who you see. I see multiple people. Okay. Some women are open like that from the start, but for the most part, you cannot tell a woman that you are seeing other women. You can tell them indirectly, like Glenn, basically what you're saying is you are giving her the answer. She knows what the answer to that is, but you're not outright saying it. When you say, if you say, yes, I am seeing other women, I'm fucking other women, she then has that recording in her head that she plays back again when her friends ask her, what's up with you and Glenn? Then she has to tell them, he said he's seeing other women or he's fucking other women. And now she's put in a spot where they're like, you know, you got to get out of that. That's a bad situation. The way Glenn is saying it, or the way I'm saying it, is you're giving her an answer without, giving her that straight answer that you are seeing somebody. So she knows what the answer is.
Well, yeah, pretty much she knows what the answer is. Yeah. But I've also had girls just, you know, come at it from a different angle. Instead of saying, are you seeing other girls, saying like, you know, it's like, so like what? You wouldn't mind if I like hooked up with other guys? And I've gotten that quite a bit. And I always say like, hey, listen, you know, we don't really have a commitment right now. Like, if that's what you want to do, like, yeah, man, you know, go do it. Like, I hope you have an awesome time, you know? And that'll shut them up too. I mean, really fast. And they'll be like, you're really okay with that. And you're like, listen, man, I don't own you. If that's what you feel like you need to go explore, and that's something, an avenue that you want to follow, see if there's somebody better for you than me, like, yeah, man, I wish you all the best of luck. And, you know, when they come at you that way, that has the same sort of effect where you're telling them like, hey, listen, this isn't a committed relationship. I'm probably seeing other girls, but you're not outright saying it. And you're also telling her like, hey, listen, don't ask this stuff anymore, because this is the type of responses you're going to get. And by telling a woman like you're okay with her seeing other people, but you're also having a sort of relationship with her, you're sending a very confusing message to her. And she is not going to be able to figure that out. And that type of confusion is gold. And I hate to say it to all the girls who might be listening, but, you know, girls deep down, they love to be confused. They love to try to figure the guy out. They love it when they just can't put their finger on it. So I think we tackled that pretty good.
Yeah. Let's see. Any specific experience advice on how to manage an interracial relationship?
Yeah, it makes me wonder. I was kind of interested about that question. I wish we had him here right now. You know, I've dated a bunch of black chicks. I've had some Asian girls. I've had some Indian girls. And I'm assuming when you say interracial, you know, it's like color of skins and not really ethnicity. I think that would be the main focus of it. But the only thing I could think would be the problem is if you're white and she's black, does your family have a problem with it and your siblings and your friends? Or does her family have the problem with it? And, you know, I'm not going to try to paint this picture that we don't live in a very racist, prejudiced world, because we do. Most white girls' families would fucking hate it if she brought a black guy home. And that's just a reality. And a lot of black families would hate it if their daughter brought a white guy home, or, you know, their black son brought a white girl home. You know, it takes a really different type of family and mindset, both black and white or Asian or whatever, to sort of accept a different race coming in. And, you know, that just goes back to the beginning of time where, you know, species mated with their own kinds. You know, we lived in tribes and we mated with our own kinds, and nobody wanted to mix the DNA pool. I mean, it's just sort of inherent in people. You know, the only problem I could possibly think of with that is problems with the family or your friends. As far as society goes, you know, interracial couples are even more acceptable than gay couples now. I mean, you're not going to get any pressure from society. You're not going to get, like, you know, shit thrown at you walking down the street because you're walking with like
in the 50s.
Yeah, you're not going to get squirted with a fire hose or something. But
I mean, I suspect part of the question has to do with different ethnicities, which is kind of a pretty big question. Like, how do you deal with cultural differences? You know, there are a lot of cultural differences. You know, if you know, I have dated black chicks, Asian chicks, Latina chicks. I think really, I mean, to me, and it'd be interesting to hear what the problem is that you're experiencing with this, because that would help us answer this better.
Well, yeah, and if it was only, what would really help is, you know, I wonder if this question, if it's something that he's continuously experienced, which would lend a lot of validity to his question, or if it was just a one-time problem he had, which basically nullifies this question completely. But it would be cool to have that person here to hear what, you know, what the problem was. But
all right, so let's move on to the next question.
Who's asking it?
Chris, with a K this time.
It's a girl.
Is it?
I don't know.
Chris asks, every so often I go to online dating and I'm pretty good at number closing and the date. My question is, though, how do I properly ping a girl online that has gone cold? Every so often I get into a situation where I'm messaging with a girl back and forth and all of a sudden she stops replying. I usually wait 3 to 5 days before sending something, but it usually gets me nowhere. Any help on a good ping to send and how to do it well? I have some ideas, but...
I have a lot of ideas, but this is about relationships, not about online games.
Yeah, so should we like...
Yeah, sorry, Chris.
We'll cut that out then.
Yeah. You could even put it in. I say you leave this whole little bit in right now.
Yeah.
You guys get to hear the behind the scenes.
Testies. 1, 2, 3. All right. This is a good relationship question from Third Millennium Man. Or Third Millennium Men. I suspect that's not his given name either, but we'll go with it. What's the best way to turn her from being flaky in the early stages of a relationship to locking her in as your girlfriend?
Flaky chicks suck.
Oh, yeah.
But we all get them. In the beginning, when girls are being flaky, you know, they're just not invested, typically. You know, they're sort of in, they're sort of out. You know, maybe you meet their fancy, maybe you don't. Or maybe it's just a struggle, a power struggle in the relationship for who has the upper hand. You know, it could be a bunch of different things. If it's the fact that she's not invested enough, because, you know, in my experience, you know, if you're a cool dude and you had a date and you had a great time and you had sex and, you know, everything was awesome and you gamed her really well and she was fully digging you, you shouldn't really be getting flakiness at all. She'd be pretty much enthralled and excited and, you know, be willing to see you and not really be flaky. So I would pretty much think that if this was the case, you know, she's being flaky after your first couple of dates, either you haven't had sex with her because there's no indication that you had in the question, or that you're just not pushing her buttons enough. You're not really exciting her enough. She's kind of like viewing it as like, yeah, I could, you know, give or take this guy. I really don't care too much about this. Your thoughts on that part of it, Eric? On the flaky part, not really the power struggle thing. Because we don't really know what area he's coming at, like what's really happening.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends where she's flaky. If you have had sex with her like once and she's flaky after that, or you've had sex a couple of times. To me, that's part of properly getting her invested, which is about, for lack of a better word, gaming her correctly at that point. And to me, you do things like be dominant, show her non-neediness. You know, you can take her out and show her what a gregarious guy you are with other people. Flirt a little bit with other chicks. You can pull back a little bit and let her take initiative. There's a number of things you can do to kind of like I said, lack for lack of a better word, game this girl to pull her back into the fold.
And if she's being flaky, I mean, you know, you just might be showing a whole bunch of neediness after the date. Because if she's not being flaky before the date, and then after the date or couple of dates, you just might be showing a bunch of neediness or being all types of approval seeking with her, and she's just sort of becoming a little flaky. I would try not to be needy at all, and if this is a problem that you're really, really getting, I would potentially start being flaky with girls before they could be flaky with you. So, like, you have plans for your second date, fucking flake on her ass. You know what I mean? If this is something ongoing and you're going to see her in 2 days, you know, flake on her really hardcore, kind of like maybe a couple of hours before. Start being flaky towards her first before she could be flaky towards you. I mean, but that's, you know, that's just like a temporary fix to the problem because, you know, switching the tables on the flakiness. Like, if you start flaking on a girl before she can flake on you, obviously it's going to make her want you more because now you're the one that's being unobtainable and unavailable. You're not giving her the attention, so that's going to make her chase you more. And that's a technique, but, you know, ultimately, if your game was right, you wouldn't need that technique to help you out of those situations. And that's why I'm saying it's like sort of like a temporary fix.
So let's look at what the fix is for being needy. There's some things that you can look at that you're doing. For example, you can look at how much you're texting her, how quickly you text her back when she texts you, how available you make yourself when she's like, hey, let's hang out on Tuesday, and you're always free when she wants to hang out. How much you take initiative with her. In other words, maybe some days let her text you first and see what happens. Or let her invite you out first and see what happens. Or, you know, you should be ending conversations early, or at least on your terms. You should be ending dates on your terms. Like, she shouldn't be the one that's saying, hey, all right, I need to go home. You should be the one saying that. You can even play around with being super into her, like, for the first half of a date, and then turning it off halfway through the date and being like, all right, I got it, you know, showing less interest in her, but still being super friendly with the bartender and the waitress and everybody else in your vicinity. Just kind of these little things you can do. It's a lot of times it's the little things that end up showing neediness. Like, you text her much longer texts than she texts you, or you text her twice as many texts as she texts you. It's these kinds of little things that project to her, hey, this guy is waiting around for me. This guy, I'm his only option. Whereas if you're a little bit more aloof, let her come to you, then you tend to preempt these flakiness problems. And who knows, you know, sometimes if you're getting this flakiness all the time, then there's definitely a problem. Sometimes,
well, it's definitely a problem with neediness if he's getting this nonstop.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sometimes, you know, there's situations where even the best guys, everybody I know, the best guys come across a flaky girl, a girl that's flaky, and it could be that she's seeing somebody else who she's more into than you, and you're her backup. And there's nothing you can do. You could game that girl hard, but sometimes there's nothing you can do. If she's in love with that guy, and you just happen to pick her up on her off day, you know?
And he's gaming her better than you are.
Yep.
As simple as that. I completely agree. And I guess if it's coming down to, you know, what I said earlier about a power struggle, a dominant struggle, I mean, you know, if she's just being flaky to sort of, you know, win your attention, which some girls, it's rare. This is a rarer girl, but there are girls who do have really good game, and they know how to act aloof and flake and, you know, switch the tables. Like, you know, they give it to you and they get you invested, and then bang, they turn it off. And, you know, it works for these girls, you know, especially if they're hot. They could just get these guys chasing them and get you to be all sort of like needy, and they act all flaky. And it's like really just a struggle for power and for dominance. And the way around that is to just not fall into her traps and just reverse the flake. You know, like if a girl flakes on you and she's like, hey, you know, I can't make it tonight, and be like, oh my God, I'm so glad you said that. I got a text like 10 minutes ago from a friend who unexpectedly popped into town. I was just about to text you, you know, and then you're like, then she's sitting there like, what, a friend unexpectedly? Like, who's the friend? Is it a girl? Is it what? Or, you know, you want to like try to be, I guess, dicky to her back. And you know, these girls, they're hard to turn around, but you can, and you could literally sometimes do it in one move. And a lot of guys might be saying, what's that one move? And the thing is, like, every time it's different. It really is. But you know, I've had girls that were flaky. Eric knows a girl that was like the flake fucking queen on planet Earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, all right. I just whispered her name, the flake queen. And you know, I was just like, man, you know, this girl's so into me. We see each other all the time. She's fucking so hot. I'm so into her. But she just, like, fucking flakes, man. And I mean, flakes.
Like on a psychotic level.
Yeah, like flakes, like, retarded. She's like, yeah, I'll meet you downstairs in 10 minutes. I'm right around the corner, and, like, doesn't show up type of shit. And, you know, at the time, I was like, you know, this chick sucks, but she's so hot. You know, whatever. I don't care. I know I'll fuck her again. I'll just act like it doesn't bother me. And, you know, she'd be like, hey, you know, I hope, you know, you're not mad about the other night. I was like, ah, no, actually, you know what? I called one of my other girls. It's, like, totally cool. You know what I mean? And I would continually start doing things like that. But there was a situation where, you know, I just totally basically broke up with her. Not over a flake. Things were really great. We were at a high point in our relationship, and she was like fully in, and the flaking was pretty much like, you know, a little bit there, but like, you know, I was still kind of like, can it come back? Won't it come back? And, you know, she was like becoming fully invested, and I just like broke up with her. And she's like, why? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. You know, I just don't think I could do this much longer. And she's like, well, can't we talk about it? I was like, nah, there's really not that much to talk about, you know? And I just gave her this fucking cold, heartless breakup. And let me tell you, after that, that girl was coming at me with, like, everything she had. I mean, sending cards to my house, calling, texting. I mean, it was like the tables were turned just in one harsh move. And it was a strategic move. I wasn't even mad at her. We were at a great, awesome spot. And I just knew that this is what it would take to switch it around permanently in my favor.
Yep. And so, another thing related to that could be the dropout where you just disappear for a week or two or even longer.
Yeah, those are risky. Because you do run the risk of losing her.
Yeah.
I mean, you could pull a pretty fucking dicky move like that, but you have to be prepared for the consequences. But
if she's, it depends how flaky, if she's being really flaky and you're not getting what you want, then that's definitely a last resort move, is dropping out for a while.
Well, not only that, you know, to the guy, it's frustrating, you know, because he's going to start chasing, he's going to be thinking about her, he's going to be like wanting her. And, you know, if you can't win her back and you can't flip the tables, you know, it's probably better just to walk away than continually deal with the emotional bullshit that goes on with a girl that you're into that's flaking on you. Because, you know, even guys who are fucking lots of chicks are really successful with women, when they get a girl that they like and they start flaking, you know, it sends our head into a whirlwind of like, what's this? What's going on? Why can't I game her? Why isn't she into me? And, you know, it starts fucking with your sleep and you can't think. And, you know, sometimes when that happens, it's just like, you're like, you know what? You know, I can't beat it, so I'm getting rid of it. As simple as that.
Yeah, and it shows how powerful this stuff is, you know, that a chick can do that to you. I want to address flakiness even earlier in the relationship. Like, let's say, you know, you've gone out on a date or two, you haven't had sex with her yet. You know, maybe you're supposed to meet up, and she flakes on a date, and then you kind of make a date, and then it's a quick date or whatever. One great way to handle that situation, or if she's not putting out, or if she's not, one great way to handle that situation is to actually raise the bar higher and make her come over to your place for the date. Like, have that be, because if she's kind of flaking out already anyway, you're better off going for the Hail Mary and making a big move rather than making it easier for her. Like, let's say, you know, she can only meet up for an hour in a bar, right? Say, hey, come over to my place. We'll cook some dinner. We'll have some wine. Because in that way, you either get what you want, which is her in your bed, or you get the other thing that you want, which is a straight no from her. Not this, like, hey, I'm still into you. You know, because sometimes girls will, like, keep you around. They'll text you. They'll, like, but they won't even want to meet up with you, or they'll meet up with you for a little bit, but only when they're with their friends. And it's that kind of crap that you either want them in or you want them out. And that's one way you could do it.
Yeah.
And I'd like to hear your take on this, because you're really good at this, Glenn. What's a good way to lock her in as your girlfriend? Let's say, you know, this is kind of what I'm seeing as the second part of this question here. Let's say you're seeing her in a little bit of a more casual relationship, and you want her to be exclusive with you.
And you want her to be exclusive with you.
I know that sounds totally crazy.
No.
It's this thing called monogamy. How do you say it? Monogamy.
Monogamy. I'm a fan of monogamy. I think, you know, if a guy finds a woman that he really is compatible with and connects with on a deep emotional level and a sexual level, and they get along, and that's what he feels like he wants, I completely agree with it. I think the best way to do this is the way, it's funny because I would say all of the stuff we've been talking about, how to keep a girl out of an exclusive relationship, the best way to get a girl into a relationship is to make her think and game her the way you would as if you didn't want an exclusive relationship until she's coming at you hard for it. Make her work for it. That's it. Run your normal, non-exclusive, non-committal, casual game. Maybe give her a couple of bones in between, like a couple of, you know, it's like the donkey that chases the carrot, you know. He's always going to be running after that carrot dangled in front of him. But every once in a while, you know, you got to let the donkey take a bite. And it's the same thing with a girl. Give her a taste of the relationship life with you. Like, you know, maybe a few months in, introduce her to your sister or say, hey, you know, my mom's coming into town, you know. She'd like to just, like, say hi to you for, like, a quick drink or something like that. Give her a little bit of a taste and kind of get her taste buds salivating for that. You know, maybe do something on the cusp of romantic. Maybe, like, a nice candlelit bath with her one night. You know, give her a couple of tastes of something relationshipy, but keep the casualness of it. And then, like I said, just keep gaming her the way you would a girl that you don't want a relationship with. And then when she's coming at you and she's coming for the relationship, give her a little push away. Now, I'm not ready. You know, you want her to want and work for this relationship as much as she possibly can. And then you can reward her with the relationship on your terms. And then she'll feel better because she worked for it. She didn't get it. She'll value it because people value things that they have to work hard for and put more investment in. If you're given something for free and easy, you're not going to value it that much.
Yeah, when you want an exclusive relationship with a girl, And you'll get a lot of people saying, hey, ask her to be exclusive, ask her to be your girlfriend. You don't want her to say necessarily, I'll be your girlfriend, or I'll be exclusive with her. You want her to want to be exclusive with her, because even if she says she's exclusive with you, you still don't know how into you she is. You don't know. She could still be dating other guys. She still could. Her saying, I'm going to be exclusive with you, just agreeing to you, does not necessarily mean she will be exclusive with you or that she feels that way. You're better off doing what Glenn says, which is getting her to want to be exclusive with you. And I would add this too, that you're better off, you know, somebody's got to ask to be exclusive usually, you know, but you're better off, it's the relationships tend to be more stable if it's the girl that wants to be exclusive and ask for it than if it's the guy that wants to be exclusive and ask for it. There's a lot of reasons for that, but relationships tend to work out better if the girl is slightly more into the guy than the guy is into the girl. And that's because the guy wants to remain the guy should remain dominant, because if he loses his dominance, the woman tends to lose attractiveness.
And respect for him.
Another way to kind of move into a more serious relationship with a girl is simply to start seeing her more often. Again, you don't want to be the one that's constantly asking her to see you, but you can just simply start to see her more often. Hopefully she'll ask for that. And once you're seeing each other a certain number of days a week, in my book, you're pretty much exclusive. She won't have time to date other people. You won't have time to date other people. And it's just going to naturally move in that direction.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. All right, next question. These questions are starting to get a little heavy here. Selecta with a K. Man, all these clever spellings.
I want a clever spelling.
Yeah, no, you can't have one.
How can we cleverly spell Glenn P-U-A?
You can, three N's on Glenn.
Glenn P-U-A.
For someone who is really good at establishing relationships with attractive girls, like you guys, do you believe marriage-type commitment is possible? In general, do you believe such a commitment is a good thing? Wow, that's a deep question.
No, it's not. I think commitment is a great thing. Sure. I think I kind of covered it. I don't even know if it needs to go that deep. I think I said a little bit about it before. I mean, I would recommend to any newbie to never get involved in a relationship in the beginning. Because the thing that I see the most from guys is they want to become an aspiring seductionist, ladies' man, pickup artist, whatever you want to call yourself. And they get all gung-ho and they go out in the field and they have tons of approach anxiety. They have tons of fear. It's really hard. It's really daunting. It's a lot more work than they ever thought. They have to face their fears. They have to grow as a person. They have to do work on their brains, their inner game. They have to work on their fashion. They have to work on their lifestyle. They have to work on their identity. They have to work on their presence. They have to work on everything. And they go out and they do a couple of approaches and they meet a girl and they get laid. And then the girl likes him. And then he gets in a relationship with her. And he's like, I met the one. It's like, no, you met the one that was your ticket out of personal growth and development. You met the one that will alleviate the fear and the pain. You met the one that now you don't have to go out and approach and conquer your fears and learn how to be attractive and do all the work it takes to become a great ladies' man. So guys will get wrapped up in girls way too soon. You know, I said earlier, being in a relationship out of want and not need. Needing to have a woman in your life and alleviate that feeling of loneliness and insecurity and non-attractiveness and needing to have somebody around to make you feel good and validate you and needing to have someone around to have sex with is all the wrong reasons to be in a relationship. If you're going to be in a relationship, it's because you have chosen a woman that is truly your 10. And if she's not your 10, whatever that might be, in looks, personality, her career, whatever it is, if she's not your perfect 10, then you should not be in a relationship with her. You should never settle. And some people say, well, oh, love is about accepting. And, you know, sometimes you have to put up with things because that's what love's about. Bullshit. That's not what love's about. And that's why relationships don't last, because people get into relationships to fulfill a certain need. Okay? And that's the last thing you want to do.
I agree with you, particularly about newbies getting into a relationship and dropping out of the game, because I see that a lot too. They don't want to deal with the approach anxiety, that, and it's easy. You find a girl and you hop into the first relationship you get into, and then what happens? You're unhappy in that relationship and you're kind of screwed after that, because it's hard as hell to get back into it once you've been out that long. Mm-hmm. But
oh no, this podcast is going to go on forever with these buts.
I somewhat disagree with you about your perfect 10 thing, because I feel like there's always someone better out there than the one you're with. In some way, there's always some girl who, you know, especially when you're kind of the dominant one in the relationship, the less emotional one in the relationship, and you get to look at her objectively.
Nah.
Let me finish.
Go ahead. We're going to fight.
There's always something better out there than what you have. This girl is missing this one piece or missing that one piece. You never find the perfect one. And there's always something better out there. And so, and this is actually something that I'm dealing with now in my life right now, which is I am looking for that marriage type relationship. You know, I've been in plenty of casual relationships. I've had a ton of casual sex, and I've had, you know, each relationship I've had has gotten better and better. But finding that awesome girl, what type of changes does that take in my life? And the question to me is, will getting even better at gaming find me that girl, or is there something else there? And the reason I ask that question is because, you know, I believe it's possible to get into this gaming mode where you're dating like crazy, and you can always get another date with a hotter girl. There's always a newer relationship on the horizon, and I feel like sometimes there's a better way to go about that, to settle down with that girl, because you get into this mode of being a dater, you know, of this taking up part of your life, of this excitement, you know, of like this being your challenge in your life is finding hotter girls, talking about meeting hotter girls, learning how to meet hotter women, and that becomes the main focus of your life. And I think that can be a hindrance to actually finding that girl and change and getting into the lifestyle which you want, which is to be with that one person and to be happy in a relationship with one person.
Yeah, but when you meet that your perfect 10, that one, you'll know it, and you're not going to want to go meet anybody hotter. That's that. And that's the truth. You won't be able to stop yourself. You'll know it in your heart, in your bones, in your soul. This is the fucking one. You'll look at her every morning and love her. You'll go to bed with her and you'll want to hug her, and you'll just be totally enthralled with everything about her. And you're not going to really necessarily want to look for the hotter, because you have the hottest right in front of you. And in most cases, when you meet the one, who's your perfect 10, she's probably not going to be perfect 10 looks. She'll be 8.5, maybe 9 looks, but perfect 10 in personality, in chemistry, in her outlook on life, in her hobbies, in everything else. You know, I tend to believe when you meet the one, you might not know it at first sight, because I don't think I believe in love at first sight, although I'm sure a lot of people say that it exists, but you'll know it at the 10th or 20th sight. Do you know what I mean? Like, after hanging out with her, you'll just realize it one day, you know, this is it. I'm not going to do better than this. This girl just does it for me, man. I don't want to find hotter. Like, this girl is complete, you know? And if I run the risk of going out trying to find something better, then I'll lose the one that I'm really most attracted to and connect with the best. Eric's starting to cry right now.
Yeah, I'm like tearing up. So that was the is marriage type commitment a good thing? Another deep question here from Kojo. MLTRs and kids.
I like Kojo.
I like Kojo too. Is there an alternative solution to this conflict between society's demands toward monogamy and our biological urges toward multiple manageable relationships? In MLTRs, multiple long-term relationships, when kids come into the picture, how would one manage them? Would we have the mother in her role caring for the kids, the sex partners fulfilling other needs, all in one happy family compound like the tribal leaders did in the past? Can this concept be translated into today's world? I believe Hugh Hefner has been able to create that lifestyle. Would this be the lifestyle of the future? In this case, the alpha males will have most of the girls and the beta males would be left empty-handed to play other roles in society. I seem to think that this is what reality is and that the picture given to us by society is not quite real. I am curious as to others' take on this subject. This is a deep question, too.
Yeah, it kind of is, yeah. I mean, I agree with everything he's saying. I think that, you know, social norms and society and media and the like have convinced us that a relationship is supposed to look a certain way. It's supposed to have certain attributes. There's supposed to be monogamy. There's supposed to be the house. There's supposed to be the parents who are working. There's supposed to be the kids. There's this whole image that I think is very unnatural to who we really are, but in a sense, we've been hypnotized and programmed into believing is what is the way it should be. So I agree with him in that sense, but for the life of me, I can't imagine a successful household or family in the way he described it, as though you have the wife or the woman at home fulfilling the needs of the children and the man, while the man is out there running amok, planting and sticking his dick in everything else that walks. I mean, sure, would most guys love to have that? Yes. And do a few fortunate men on this planet have that? But in reality, in the present moment, I would say it's next to impossible. In the future, anything's possible. But, you know, for now, I would just say, like, that is just would be a very unfair expectation to have, because I couldn't ever imagine being able to successfully fulfill that. And then you would also, you know, there would come the question of, what are you teaching your kids? What are your kids growing up to see? Is that the way you want your kids to view things? Do you want, let's just say you have a daughter, okay? Do you want your daughter growing up seeing the mom slaving away and taking care of the kids while the daddy's going out and fucking these chicks, but you're coming home and being the daddy and the husband? I mean, is that a role? Is that a positive role model for your daughter or for your son? I mean, there's a lot of moral questions that, you know, can arise from that sort of situation. And the likelihood of it succeeding, you know, I just think is like so low that it wouldn't even be worth trying.
Yeah, sometimes I think if I were going to be happy in a monogamous relationship, I'd need to move out of New York City because there's way too many hot girls walking around this city. It's way too frustrating / inspiring to meet these girls. I want to talk to them. And sometimes I feel like we are competing with our own biological urges, right? As men, we do tend to want to fuck as many women as possible. And the women that we're with, and this is actually science, right? It's called the Coolidge effect. Sex, like the pleasure you get from sex with the same woman starts to drop after a while. Whereas Chris Rock said, there's nothing like new pussy. And so I think it's like, right, we're competing against our own biology. So I don't have any kids, but one of the things I know is when you start living with a woman is your testosterone levels tend to drop somewhat. So you're not as horny, you're not as, and supposedly you're geared towards the familial units, you know? So I don't know, you know, if that supposedly contributes toward monogamy, if it's possible for a man to be happy in a relationship with one single woman for the rest of his life, I don't know. I'll tell you this, my parents seem to be pretty happy together. They're still happily married, which is actually pretty rare.
Okay, now I'm going to sound like a complete scumbag, but people's parents in successful relationships like that, you know, just keep in mind, and I'm not accusing anything here, Eric, that, you know, you never know what happened behind closed doors. You never know what that guy did, what that woman did. You don't, just because they're happy at 60 or 70, you know, doesn't mean that they weren't taking care of business or doing certain things or having certain aspects of their relationship or their sexual fantasies fulfilled with other people during that relationship. Because I think we were talking about like monogamy in that sense, right?
Right.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
But like, you never know. You never know what your mom was up to or your dad was up to or your grandparents were up to. You know, I mean, we don't look at them as sexual beings, but they were fucking crazy goddamn pervs just the same as we were. Hi, Grandma.
I mean, me personally, I think it's possible, and that's what I'm looking for, is to find a woman, get married, and have kids with her. Is it possible I won't find that? It is possible. I'd like to believe that it is, and that's what I'm looking for. Next question.
Yeah, Mr. Romance over here.
Next question. All right, Mark.
Mark.
Hi, guys. I've been in the community for years, and after spending a year at the mansion, I managed to land seemingly the girl of my dreams. We'll call her Scooter Girl for sake of argument. I'm 46 and have had several multiple long-term relationships in the past 5 years since my 13-year marriage, as well as having several long-term relationships prior to marriage. She's 27, and for the first time in a long time, maybe the first time ever, this girl rocks my world. I won't go into details here, but let's just say she completes me, in quotes. Not only that, but it's not every day I bag a hot 27-year-old. Let's just say I'd probably do better playing the Mega Million if you compare my Sarges to what the results have been. I met her online, and in her profile, she states how she's looking for a relationship, and nearly every week we've been together, she's mini DTR'd me. DTR is define the relationship. I guess she's asking what the situation is. She wants to be exclusive. I keep telling her I'm hesitant to get into a relationship as I've been single for a year and I kind of want to keep it that way for a while. She's told me it's okay, I can wait, but I'm not going to wait forever. At some point, I'm going to be gone. I got into the community to have choice with women and be able to drop one and get another whenever I want. But I also got in to find and meet an amazing woman. Here she is. I'm in a conundrum at the moment because having just come out of the mansion and having my skills rightly sharpened, I'm faced with what to do with this girl.
Yeah, and that is a tough situation. And I could totally sympathize with that. It is, it's definitely a tough choice that you have to make. You know, if she's that into you, like I said earlier, it's highly unlikely that she'll walk away because she's not getting what she wants. She said she's okay with it at the moment. She's tolerating it. She's probably getting frustrated on some level, for sure. But at the same time, you're being honest with her by saying you're not sure if you're ready for a relationship. Here's what I think. I think deep down you know that you're going to wind up with this girl, but you need to get a few bugs out of your system. And I understand that, and I think that you should get those bugs out of your system, and that's going to be meeting lots of other girls. I would just try telling her, telling her that you like her and you adore her and you love hanging out with her and you love her company, and you know, she's the first girl that you've actually considered being in a relationship and taking it to another level with in a very long time. And, you know, if you're going to get in another relationship, it's going to be with you. You know, just tell her that, you know, there's certain things besides the sexual commitment, or there's certain things about the word commitment besides sex that take place in a relationship. And that's the commitment to being responsible to somebody else, the commitment to dealing with her issues, being there for her. There's so many different areas of the word commitment in a relationship besides sex. I would approach it more like, you know, the monogamy part of it, or the sexual part of it, you know, is the easy part for me. What's not is the commitment to these other bigger things, and that somebody else is being responsible and accountable to somebody else. You know, I know that you're, and luckily I know Mark, you know, you're new to LA, you're sort of finding yourself again. I mean, these are all valid things that you can say to her to keep you from getting into a mentally and emotionally committed relationship with her. But my guess is that you really are starting to fall in love with this girl, and you're sort of debating on whether or not you should risk losing this girl because you really wanted to work on your game and, you know, learn how to meet lots of girls. But it sounds to me like, you know, a little wrench was thrown into your plans here, because, you know, you did meet this perfect girl, and luckily, you know, your time spent learning pickup, whether it was online or cold approach, allowed you to seduce this woman into your life. So in a sense, one of your goals has already been accomplished. I mean, you met what sounds to me like, you know, one of your perfect tens. So, you know, I think she'll give you, if she could truly walk away, which I don't think is possible for most women, if she truly can walk away, I don't think she's just going to walk away and say, goodbye, Mark. I think she's going to give you a very serious ultimatum, and you'll know it. I think she'll give you a talk, And you'll have the ability to decide right then and there. Now, the only problem with taking it that far until she gives you with the talk, it means that you are now getting into the relationship on her terms and not your terms. So you're committing to her. She's giving you the ultimatum and you're saying yay or nay, where we discussed earlier that, you know, you should have the girl chasing you and then it's going to be your decision to get into it. But I would say, you know, you have a while yet. You know, it's only been a couple of months. I think for sure you have another few months, you know, maybe another like 6 months to a year before anything serious even comes about. I would say you'd have to use your best judgment on this. You know her better than anybody else at this point. So, you know, I would tell you to definitely keep doing what you're doing, because what you're doing is working. It's keeping her around. It's keeping her invested. She loves hanging out with you. She's fallen head over heels in love with you, and you're still able to dictate the terms of the relationship to her. So I would recommend keep doing what you're doing until you feel like there may be a breaking point, or until you decide on your own, which may be before that, that, you know what, okay, this is the one. You know what, I'm going to put all my eggs in this basket and just do this with her. So that would be my advice. I mean, the thing is, I'd rather you be in the relationship also knowing that you can go out and get other women, because, you know, let's just say 2 years down the road, you know, the relationship doesn't work out. You know, where are you going to start with pickup after that? How are you going to start learning? Are you going to start, you're going to have to start all over again? You know, so it can be pretty empowering to be in a relationship, a committed relationship, knowing that if things don't go right or if you break up, you can go out and go meet other girls, you know, that very same day. And, you know, when you have that ability, you're in a position of power. You feel like a man because you have control over your dating destiny. And that's a really wonderful place to be in the relationship, because even in a committed relationship or a serious one, you definitely want her to think that, you know what, hey, you're great with her, but you'll be fucking great without her. You know, she's someone that adds value to your life. And if she's not going to, then, you know, you could still go out and do your thing and be successful and have lots of fun. So that's kind of really all I have to say about that.
That sounds good to me. I don't have too much to add to that.
Mark. It's the last time we're saying his name.
Yeah, his name shall not be uttered. You want to do this last question?
Uh-oh. About the Oscar One curse? More? From who?
From KL.
KL.
About the Oscar curse. Hey, Eric. Not sure if it's too late, but I'd be interested to hear Glenn's opinion of the Oscar curse. The idea behind the Oscar curse is that when a woman wins an Academy Award, her relationship with her boyfriend or husband often ends soon thereafter. There are a significant number of examples in Hollywood history. Looking forward to the interview.
Yeah, it's funny. I would think the main cases of that being true would be women who receive the Oscar and the guy is not as successful or as popular as her. I mean, her value and her popularity goes through the roof.
I mean, it's hard to be as popular as somebody who's won an Oscar.
It is. And I think if she's in a relationship with someone who's equally as successful and popular as her, the relationship would probably be fine. But if the guy isn't, and he's not as successful or popular as her, it would take one hell of a strong man to be able to be in that relationship and feel secure. I mean, all of a sudden, she's making more money than he is. She's getting more attention. She's getting more work. She's not going to be around. She's going to be on movie sets. He's going to be sitting at home thinking, who's hitting on her? She's going to be doing sex scenes. and he's going to be getting jealous. He's going to be going crazy. I mean, I think ultimately, if the guy's not on the same, if the guy's not equal value to her, then it's going to drive him insane with insecurity. He's just going to become way too insecure to maintain the relationship. He's going to become needy. He's going to be depressed. He's going to constantly need attention and validation. He's going to need more attention from her because of his own feelings of lack, really. You know, I don't even know how I would fess in that sort of situation. I mean, I would imagine it would be really difficult. I mean, for sure. And I think the Oscar curse, you know, is probably coming from that. And then also probably partly on her. I mean, all of a sudden she's like, wow, look at me and look how successful I am. Look what I'm doing and what's he doing? And, you know, why isn't he doing this? And look at all these more options I have. And I need to, like, take my career now to a new level. And, you know, is this guy holding me back? Is he good for me? I mean, I could totally see why that just puts so much pressure on the relationship that it would be almost impossible for it to survive unless, you know, they were both on the same level playing field. I think, you know, if they weren't, I don't see much room for success in that area.
Yeah. I think Lee did this study where he posted like a fake profile of a woman on a dating site, and he changed it to like he posted a whole bunch. One was in high school, one only had a high school diploma, one graduated college, one had a master's, and one had a PhD. And I think the one who graduated college or high school, I forget which one, got the most guys writing, and the one with the PhD actually got the fewest emails, right? And I think this has to do with the way men feel about themselves around women. They want to feel like they're the successful one. Like, women, you know, women are partially attracted to men based on how successful they are in life, right? And so they, and whereas men tend to be more geared toward looks when it comes to women. So if she's not only got the looks, but has the success too, a guy can easily feel threatened by that. And sure, like all of us like to think, hey, I wouldn't feel threatened by that too. But, you know, this woman, and we all operate on validation, right? On people validating us, giving us approval, showing us like acceptance in life. Part of that is how much we give to society, how valuable we are to society. And within the relationship, she's, you know, part of your worth is how much the other partner validates you and you validate her. And if she suddenly is a step much higher than you, then she's all of a sudden getting some validation from some other place other than you. And that can easily screw up the relationship.
Yeah. She's a lot more than a step higher than you when she wins the Oscar. It instantly changes the dynamic of the relationship immediately. Even if he's sitting there at the awards with her, he's immediately going to notice the dynamic change. Her value go through the roof. And like I said, if he's not his equal value and he's not truly secure in himself, man, that's just like, just seems like a recipe for disaster. Like, big time.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when guys, I think that'd be very similar when guys date girls and their girls, you know, model and Playboy. It's like, you know, the guy probably in the beginning thinks, yeah, dude, that'd be kind of cool if he's okay with her showing her nudes. But then the reality of that situation sets in where you know, now she's got to go travel. Everybody's seen her nude. Now it's like a reality. She's going to get hit on more. She's going to be offered, you know, to hang out with guys who have more money than he does and more successful. I mean, how could you possibly feel secure in that sort of dynamic? I mean, it would be, you know, from coming from being a man, like, you know, the man's perspective on that. I mean, and what, you know, his position of wanting to come from a place of power and dominance and leading the relationship. I mean, you know, how is he to compete with that? You know, pretty difficult. I don't even know what it'd have to be.
Awesome, man. Well, this has been a fantastic podcast. Again, you can find out more about Glenn at glennpua.com. You can find out more about me at approachanxiety.com. We'll have to do another podcast like this soon, because there's still a few questions left unanswered that weren't really related to relationships.
Yeah, it was fun, man. I hope you guys got a lot out of it.
And we are out of here.